Good evening and welcome to another Trust the Wizards mini-pod. This is an album review podcast. And tonight we're going to consider two albums, Frank Turner, Tape Deck Heart, and Crime and the City Solution, and that's called American Twilight, I believe.
That's right.
And we're going to... We're all here. Me, myself, Rebel Rickett, Mr. Kicker of Elves.
Good evening again.
And Sharitha Garbanzo.
Hello.
And so we're going to kick off with Crime and the City Solution. Can anyone tell us the background to this band?
Well, this is very interesting for me. It's a band who I've liked a number of their songs in the past, but they haven't recorded a new album for 20 years. So there's a 20-year hiatus between studio albums, at least. Yeah. They're Australian. They include members of...
Seems there's quite a bit of overlap over the years with different people going in and out, isn't there?
That's right. And
why do I think about Vin Vendors when I?
Well, that's the only thing I know about them for is the film Wings of Desire, Vin Vendors' film, in Berlin with the angels and the trapeze artists and stuff. They're in it. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds are in that song doing a film.
Oh, right.
In that film doing a song. And so are Crime and the City Solution. Looking a bit wasted, I have to say.
Mm. That's maybe why it's taken 20 years to record a record.
Yeah. Could be, yeah. Is there a soundtrack to that as well? That film, there's certainly on a soundtrack, famously.
I think that might be Far Away So Close,
okay.
Which is some kind of sequel. I've never seen the film, but that's got Nick Cave and Depeche Mode and U2 and all kinds of people. And I think Crime and City Solution as well.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say too much about the record before we get into it, but in lots of ways I felt, before I'd heard it, that this was going to be the Nick Cave album that I'd wanted the Nick Cave album to be.
Right.
Yeah. I was looking forward to hearing this. I'd heard a little bit of one song.
Yeah, I had a little bit of one song, so no expectation whatsoever.
I thought it sounded really good. I definitely didn't dislike the album, but I feel it hasn't made that much of a lasting impression on me after several listens. Mm. I like the instrumentation. I love the guitars and the violins, but... Well, there were 8 songs on the album, is there?
Yeah,
it's quite a short album. There's 8 songs on there, and I found some of the songs just really, even after repeated listening, just made very little impression on me.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And I think it's grown and grown and grown. And the weekend, I was on a fairly long drive. Long enough to play the whole album.
Half an hour then.
45 minutes.
It's 45 minutes.
And I was on my own, so I had the stereo up really loud. It was a beautiful sunny day. I had the windows down. It sounded mega to me.
Mm. I thought, well, it's funny you say it didn't make an impression on you, because if anything, it made an impression on me. When I first listened to it, it was an awful noise. It was very difficult to listen to. I thought they actually made a mistake in the studio. I thought, you know, like a graphic equaliser. I thought the sound was bleeding out of either side. Sounded to me like, you know, they got the mixing wrong, and so it's sort of so loud and full on. There was no space in the music to, you know,
Did you not find it epic? That's a big sound, isn't it?
It took a bit of getting used to.
Yeah, the songs I did like on it, but epic is a great word to describe it. Yeah, yeah. But I think that I really like the production of it. The sound of it. When I say it didn't make much of an impression on me, it's the songs, the melodies on some of the songs. They just kind of pass me by a little bit and think, oh, you know, this is the 6th, 7th, 8th time I've listened to this album and I can barely remember how this one goes. For some of them,
Didn't do that to me. Because as you persist with it, and also the strange thing happened to me that halfway through I changed my listening device and it sounded a lot better on the second one. Yeah. So I must apologise to all those bands I've been listening to on that for the last 10 years. And it sounded better on that. And I mean, the first time I listened to it, no song really hit me, except for when it got to that Colonel Don't Call Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that's really dramatic. And I could see the rise and fall of that. And you could see how the instrumentation was working together and creating some really interesting sort of effects on it.
Mm.
And that was my key in, really. And then with persistent listening, you know, the uncomfortableness about, because I find it very oppressive and cold and harsh. But I sort of got used to that. And then I started to really get into the songs then.
Well, I thought it was, for me, it was kind of like an end-of-the-world soundtrack. Mm. That's the sort of vision that I had going on. I thought there was a sound of Nick Cave in it.
Yeah.
But also combined with sort of Leonard Cohen as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Leonard Cohen.
I thought it was really, really good. I really like it very much. And it was a pleasure to listen to over and over again.
Yeah.
I got deeper and deeper into it.
I think after about 5 or 6 listens... I really started getting into it. And the point when Goddess, you put the thing on, Goddess hits, and you think, wow, what a sound that is.
But you've got to listen to it a few times before that does that. Yeah. And also, I think you've got to listen to it loud. Yeah. I don't think, if you haven't got it on really loud, then you get the full impact.
Yeah, true.
I think that's true of a lot of music. Your End of the World comment just reminded me of Vendor's song. It's called Until the End of the World. Yeah. That's the soundtrack I was thinking of. Anyway.
Shall we say what songs we like then? Because as I say, you say...
So we're going to pick three songs each?
There are only eight, weren't there? I think we've got three. Yeah. Shall I just go first?
Yeah. Clarify the rules again, once again. Okay. So we pick three songs each, and the song that features most highly in those
gets played next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Well, I mean, I find it quite difficult to get three, because I like the whole thing. But the three that I've come up with are My Love Takes Me There, Streets of West Memphis, which is the closing track, but probably my favourite track was American Twilight, the title track.
Okay. Jimmy Thill.
I liked American Twilight, the title track, when it started with the bit at the beginning. We must not let the doomsayers and the naysayers cause us to lose our faith, because without love and without hope, there could be no future. I really liked that bit, but the rest of the song, I didn't like so much. There was one song I really didn't like, which was called Riven Man. I really found that annoying and repetitive. So three songs I did like. What was the first one you said?
My Love Takes Me There.
Yes, My Love Takes Me There. A real anthemic chorus, for me the most tuneful song and most memorable tune, most sing-along tune, really good feel to it. The Colonel Doesn't Call Anymore, which you mentioned already, Rebel. Lovely guitar on that, lovely, and it takes the first time I heard it, I thought, well, this has taken a long time to get going, and then it never really does get going, and I thought, well, what a disappointment, but then I listened to it more times, and I thought, well, I love the fact that you keep thinking it's gonna go really loud in a minute, and then it never really does. But for me, the best song by a mile was Domina. Domina, very cinematic feel, epic, like you said before. Spaghetti Western style guitar lines and drums and vocal choruses. Mm. Yeah, best track by a mile. Instrumental section in the middle with the best bit on the album.
Let's count up then. Count up.
We haven't said
your three. I knew my three. I didn't say. Yeah, well, as I said before, Colonel Don't Call Anymore, it didn't leave me. You know, you didn't get bored of that. That's right in the middle of the album. You thought, that's coming up soon, and that's going to really move me. Goddess, as I said, open track, big anthemic, you know, a bit stadium rocky, but never mind. I went for American...
Twilight.
Yeah, I've got highlighted.
So the soundtrack.
American Twilight, yeah.
So the title track, yeah.
So we've got a tie there, haven't we?
We've got
two votes for American Twilight, two votes for The Colonel Doesn't Call Anymore, and two votes for My Love Takes Me There.
Yeah.
So how are we going to decide that one then?
Scroll to... No. I think Colonel Don't Call Anymore.
I'm happy with that because I like all the tracks.
Yeah, okay.
Let's play that then.
Yeah, I think it's the most interesting sounding one.
Mutiny. Press gang crew mutiny. Wolves roam impunity. Fleet feet licked by flames. Cartoon villains take the blame. Colonel don't call anymore. Colonel don't call anymore. Colonel don't call anymore. Colonel don't call anymore, 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 anymore. Sounds the unwanted warning call as the Tower of Babel teeters and falls. There amidst the chatter and pall, a vanity sleek, seductive form. In red plimso she deftly navigates the narrow path twixt chance and fate. Darkness before the dawn, she slips out upon a road less worn. She won't catch you anymore. She won't catch you anymore. Says put on a show as footpaths open up below. Friend and foe, fast and slow, up on high and down on low. Go, 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 go. Colonel, don't call. Mary won't catch you anymore. Mary won't catch you anymore. Mary won't catch you
Okay, Colonel Doesn't Call Anymore, about Crime and the City Solution. So the second LP under scrutiny tonight is Frank Turner with Tape Deck Heart. This has caused some controversy in the Wizard's Den here. Sharitha, do you want to tell us your first thoughts?
Well, frank is the word, isn't it? Frank is very frank on this album. and it's a breakup album.
It is.
So you can
it's his tunnel of love.
I think you can either buy into that or not. I heard him interviewed on the radio, and he was on XFM a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that, you know, he doesn't really do irony, and he's saying about how lots of bands, they start off with sort of singing a powerful message, and as they get more successful and they're singing to bigger crowds and stuff, they become a bit wary of exposing their real innermost feelings. And he gave the example of U2, who he's a big fan of, saying they've gone from Sunday Bloody Sunday to going yeah. And he was, you know, really trying hard with this album not to do that. And I really liked it. And I particularly liked the songs which were the most, you know, honest and heartfelt and you know, pretty harrowing in some cases, breakup songs. I really liked it, but I feel I'm alone in that opinion.
just to put listener in the picture. Of course, Frank Turner, he's been around for a good few years now. One of the
fifth album.
Yeah.
Million Dead.
Yeah, that was his band that he was in before.
Oh, sorry, okay. I thought he killed a million people.
Yeah.
But he's one of the few artists where I actually went out and bought one of his albums, something in Irie, I believe. And I thought, well, that's okay. You know, it wouldn't bore me over. And then, as ever, Kip could put one of his tracks on a mix, and I thought, well, that's actually better as well. But I didn't think much more of it. And I've picked up on most of his records. But then he was on the Olympic opening ceremony.
He was, yeah.
I thought, what's one of the people I know doing on that? So that was quite good.
Well, career-wise, he's been on a sort of slow upward...
Yeah, slow burn, upward, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because he's got sort of slightly more popular with each album, so...
And I sense this is another step up, because you know when you tune into XFM and he's on it, you think, oh, he must be doing quite well.
Well, I think the last album was, you know, he did England Keep My Bones, was a big, you know, that was a big seller by his standards. And I think it's quite brave of him to put out some of the songs that he's put on this album, you know, after sort of commercially breaking through, if that's what he has done.
Should we keep our kick of powder dry?
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what I thought, right? Yeah. And I think, I think you've got to make a choice. Because when I first listened to it, I thought, his voice is actually quite weak. It's, you know, it's not got a lot of soul in it, I thought. I thought, you know, the part of me that wants my rock stars not to be educated at Eton, you know, it's not his fault, but, you know, you just do. I thought, musically, the palette wasn't very broad. You know, it's kind of an ensemble piece. It's, you know, it's a bit conservative, I thought. He uses too many words. I mean, the thing about, you know, you make a choice, don't you? The lyrics are very, very self-obsessed. And he talks about self-harm in there, and I thought, oh, I don't particularly want to hear about that. I thought some of the lyrics were quite corny. You know, I Want to Dance was being a good example of that.
I don't want to dance, actually.
No, that's Eddie Grant. It was I want to dance.
No, it's definitely I Want to Dance.
Yeah.
I thought some of the lyrics were a bit defeatist. You know, they like unpopular bands, they like unsexy girls. And I was really coming out, it's like I said, there's a palette of prejudice there that I thought, oh, can't stand this.
Well, I disagree about the weak voice. I think, you know, when I think he's got a very strong voice and he can really belt them out. You know, musically conservative. Loads of music you like is you know, guitar, bass, drums, and piano.
Yeah.
And you know, that's no reason to dismiss it.
I'm
self-obsessed and too many words. I mean, you listen to Costello, you listen to Loudon Wainwright III, and you love all those things that they do.
Don't tell me what I think.
Okay. I'm just getting my defence in because I
No. But the thing was, after
defending Frank,
I've got a charge sheet here. Right? So on that side, you've got all those things, right? But then as you listen to it more and more, you're thinking, well, that's all well and good, but there's some quite good tunes on here. And actually, I'm starting to believe, you know, these lyrics, I thought they were corny. I'm thinking, well, they're not that corny now. I'm sort of buying into them. So I thought, on the other side, I thought, well, he's a tenor, isn't he? So he's in more high-pitched voice.
Yes,
he gives full vent to that. There's bits where he's screaming, you know. So there's a lot of... And he uses emotion so well that you think, well, that's, you know, I can live with the voice. Eaton educated. Then, well, he did get a scholarship.
Is he Eton educated? Is he?
He came from Hampshire, but you can't hold that against people. You know, it's misanthropic at the end of the day. I think in music conservative, actually, with a limited palette of instruments that he uses in quite a creative way. And some of those songs, you know, again, they rise and fall, and they give it loads. And self-obsessed themes. I mean, you know, you can't really. He absolutely, exactly. Yeah. I warmed to that in the end, and I thought at the end of the day, some of the songs I like more than me, and I really, really did like the songs, was because they were absolutely, ripped out of the guts of him.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is his breakup album, this is his tunnel of love, and it won me over, and I thought, you know what, they had me at points punching the sky.
Well, I apologise, because I did start to dismiss all your points, and then I realised
you've
dismissed them all yourself. Yeah. And
can I ever say?
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Come on. Hit us. Kid.
Can I just before you do, can I just see if I can...
Glad it was
I'm gonna guess what Kicker's saying. I think Kicker's main objection to this album is going to be nothing to do with the singing, nothing to do with the music. I think it's going to be about the subject matter and the lyrics that have annoyed him.
Right. Well, you're not far wrong. Because I'm picking up on what you said there, Rebel. I don't care where he went to school. But frankly, I just don't care.
Oh, right.
You know, I didn't care about him at all.
Right.
He didn't do anything for me. I thought it was smart arsery. I thought it might appeal to a 15-year-old, but it doesn't appeal to me. I thought he was too clever. I thought some, but at the same time, there were really obvious lyrics, things like, "The dark makes me think of death." I sat down in my sadness. Oh, poor you. I thought it was dull. I thought it was boring. And as I listened to it, because I thought, well, I've got to listen to it a few times to be able to bring something to the pod. And every time I had to listen to it, it really annoyed me. It annoyed me that I had to listen to this dirging twaddle instead of something that I really wanted to listen to. I thought he picked on really easy targets, so he's slagging off Motley Crue. Well, that's brave of him. I thought half the songs, if not all the songs, refer to the fact that he's got tattoos. Well, who cares about that? He says, I want to dance, that's right. He says, not only do I not want to dance, and I don't want to listen either. He talks about banks of the muddy Thames, which I thought was so pathetic. We shall not overcome, which I thought. Oh,
hey, but we shall overwhelm.
We shall, for Jesus Christ. What do we want? Well, what do we want? All that sort of thing. And then all sorts of things like, well, photographs. Oh, photographs. Yeah, they're like visual memories. It was like talking to a really annoying, well, listening to a really annoying 14-year-old, and I wanted to smack him in the mouth. I didn't really like it.
Yeah, I guess that. Well, that's what I'm saying. You either buy into this or you don't. Now, you clearly haven't. But I mean, you know, I can hear that there's a lot of stuff in there that would appeal to the 17-year-old me. The
14-year-old you.
But you know, use the example of the Smiths and Morrissey. If you listen to that music now. And you heard those lyrics, you'd probably think they were shit and whining for many of the same reasons.
Very
you
difficult,
just said.
Isn't it, to
but
not
you love
hear
that music.
For the, I do, but that's because I was there then.
Yeah, but you've got to just stop, just take your cynical 45-year-old head off for a minute and imagine you are at the front of a gig listening to some of these songs and feeling part of that sort of outsider crew that he's trying to embrace, tribalism.
I'm quite happy to say that it's not for me, I'm not his audience.
And
I'm quite happy to say that's fine.
Yeah.
And other people get stuff out of it, that's great. Far be it for me to say you shouldn't be making records.
He's not your answer. Well, what worried me a little bit, right, was that on one of the songs, I'm sure he says this, he talks about wanting to be a train driver when he was young. And I thought, hold on, you know, I'm of that age when you did want to be a train driver when you were young, because you were young in the 1970s.
Mm.
He was young in the 1990s.
Mm.
No one wanted to be a train driver in the 1990s.
No.
I thought, this is disingenuous.
See, in a way, I think it is about buying in, as you said, but actually it's about believing it, and I didn't really believe him.
You're absolutely right. I did believe him. On that song, it actually turned my favourite song, but it was the one I hated most on the first listen, where he says, "God damn it, Amy."
Yeah.
And I thought,
Exactly the same.
You've got middle-class names for your girlfriend, you know? That's how deep my
it's not a real name. The girl he's singing about is not really called Amy. Amy is a name that he uses on quite a few of his songs.
He should have said Tracy.
On some of his albums. And there's a song, A Reasons Not to Be an Idiot, which was the first song that I sort of really heard by him and made me a fan of his, which he sings about someone called Amy. But he said on that XFM interview that the person who he sings about is not a real name. But he's not using a real name.
I think in a way I was disappointed as well as annoyed. Because I have got Frank Turner records that I really like.
Yeah, sure.
But the last two albums have done nothing for me.
Mm.
So maybe
you mean this one and England Keep My Bones?
Yeah.
I don't know the. I have to confess, I don't know the England Keep My Bones album, so I can't really comment on it. But you know, I think you're saying you don't believe him. You know, I mean, he has been through a breakup, and he's singing about
and he's real tattooed, things. But I don't care really.
Well, you know, he's not just singing about, like, I've got a tattoo.
He is. He's
using it as a metaphor, isn't he?
No, so he's talking. He's literally got lots of tattoos, and he says he's got lots of tattoos.
He doesn't literally say that.
Well, I've literally got a finger up, so if you can see that.
Shall we go to the 14?
Right.
On that note. Okay, well, I won't come to Kicker first. Let's go to Sharifa.
Let's go to Sharifa. Right, well, I've got lots to say about this, but... Right, let's just cut to the chase. For three songs you want me to choose.
Mm.
Okay, just missing out is a song called Anymore, which is quite near the end of the album. We've all got the deluxe version of the album, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I will say one thing.
There's a misnomer.
There are too many songs on the deluxe version. So I've been stopping listening to the album when I've got to Broken Piano, which is the end of the normal album.
Yeah.
So the other songs after that I don't really know very well, although there is one called Time Machine that I really, really like. And it's a great punk pop song. It's a bit lighter in subject matter than a lot of the other songs on the album. But it's based around the idea of how memory can play tricks on us and let's go back to see how things really used to be, not the way we remember them, and then brings in a sort of desperate cry of come on baby please remember to this girl, the breakup girl. But that just missed out. Do you want to go first, Kicker? Because I can see you're seething quietly in the corner.
Well,
there.
Funny enough, I couldn't find three songs that I liked. So I've got two songs that I thought were passable. So I've gone for Good and Gone and Oh Brother, but I didn't really like either of them.
Okay, that's him out of the way.
Right.
I'll tell you mine. The first one, it's my number one, is that Telltale Signs, the Goddamn It Amy.
Yeah.
Because it's a great tune going after that. And then, you know, really, really heartfelt. The Way I Tend to Be, my number two.
That's the new single, I think.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
I think I can pick that.
Yeah.
And then I went with Kicker with Old Brother for number three.
Okay. Well, in the end, I've got it down to three songs, and I think they're three songs that are probably next to each other on the album. Good and Gone, which is the same one that Kicker... chose. That's the one that says "fuck you, Motley Crue."
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not just saying "fuck me, Motley Crue." You know, there's a bit more to it. He's saying "fuck you, Motley Crue" for selling us this myth of rock and roll, where you can drink and drug and live the life without ever having to face the consequences of that. But you know, you're yawning there. But I mean, that's not for my money. That's not something that's particularly been addressed in popular song before. That particular thing.
I chose it.
Yeah. Telltale Signs, again, which is a very confessional song, the one that starts with "God damn it, Amy." And there's a bit in there where he says, you know, about you remind me of the scars on my arms that I made, the self-harming thing, which is, you know, brave of him to put that. But, you know, he says about when I thought that suffering was something profound that weighed down wise heads and not just something to be avoided, something normal people dread. I thought that was pretty stunning stuff, those lyrics myself. And it's not even love anymore, it's just a claim upon my soul, which is about, was to me, I read that as being that, you know, at the point in the relationship where the relationship has really died on its arse, but you know, you're still clinging on to the dying embers and sort of using each other and still, you know, still having that kind of hold over someone where you can send them a, you know, slightly flirtatious or open-ended text message and still get them to come round and, you know, end up with a load of, you know, regret-soaked bed sheets.
And a tattoo,
of course. I identified with that a lot from quite a long time ago in my life.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, and the other one, which you guys clearly don't like, is the song Four Simple Words, the I Want to Dance one, just because
I
it's,
do like
it's
that
a big... It's just, I, just a
have
big
you chosen about six
party
songs?
Song. No, three.
No, he did three. He
Good and Gone, Telltale Signs.
No, I Want to Dance is a classic song of the problem and the glory of this LP. Because when he starts it, you're thinking, oh, that's so corny.
Yes.
He cannot get away with that. And then he launches
into
this.
But he knows that. He's not an idiot, Frank Turner. He knows that it's a bit cheesy.
But that's right. When you realise at the end, it's quite knowing. Yeah. And then I want a band who will work for their pay 1,000 miles in the day. The next day, do it all again. You think, well, yeah, I want that as well.
Yeah.
I don't want a bad line.
Come on, choose a lovely song to play.
Is anyone else sick of the music that's turned out by lacklustre scenes from Shoreditch? There was a good sort of
Is he from Shoreditch?
No, he's from Winchester. But there was a little sort of undercurrent theme going through there, which I appealed to me. It won't mean nothing to you guys, but it was about the sort of the shift in London from West London or the West End to
the banks
to
of the East Muddy London. Thames.
Yeah, there's quite a few references to how. Things have closed down and the scene has moved to East London and stuff like that. Anyway,
we didn't get that.
No.
Anyway, so we've got two, Good and Gone.
I'm quite a bit of back out of that.
Right. Well, let's just forget about his choice because he didn't really like anyone. We both chose Telltale Signs, right? So it's got to be that one.
Do I have to listen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sing along.
It's Telltale Signs from the lovely Frank.
This one goes out to Kicker of Elves.
Oh yeah.
God damn it, Amy, we're not kids anymore. You can't just keep waltzing out of my life, leaving clothes on my bedroom floor. Like nothing really matters, like pain doesn't hurt. You should mean more to me by now than just heartbreak and a short skirt. You kinda remind me of scars on my arms that I made when I was a kid with a disassembled disposable razor I stole from my dad when I thought that suffering was something profound that weighed down on wise heads and not just something to be avoided. Something normal people dread. But God damn it, Amy, well of course I've changed. With all the things that I've done and the places I've been, I'd be a machine if I had stayed the same. You're still back where we started. You haven't changed at all. Yeah, you're still trying to live like a kid, like you could always have it all. You know, you kinda remind me of scars on my arms that I hid as best I could, that I covered with ink, but in the right kind of light, they still bleed through, showing that there are some things that I just cannot change. No matter what I do, the telltale signs of being you, of being trapped inside of you. You're a beautiful butterfly, burned with a branding iron onto my outsides, into my insides. Is a simple sign show off your ownership, burned into my naked skin, onto my outsides, into my insides. It's not even love anymore, it's just a claim upon my soul. It stains my skin, yeah, and it's on my breath, and I'm ashamed to get undressed in front of strangers in case they see the telltale signs you have left all over me. But God damn it, Amy, you'll always remind me of scars on my arms that I know will never fade. And it's not like it's something I think about each and every day. I just occasionally catch myself scratching at them as if they'd ever go away. These telltale signs are here to stay, and in the end you know that's okay, 'cause you will always be a part of my patched up patchwork tank top tank deck heart.
So now we come to the bit where we've got to choose which of the two albums as our favourite, and I'm sure you're all on the edge of your seats out there just wondering which of these albums is Kicker going to choose.
Yeah.
I'll go first, shall I?
Go on then.
Frank Turner for me.
Nice. Crime and the City Solution for me.
Really? Yeah, I really can't decide.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, dear me. Oh, I feel like Cheryl Cole here.
Don't we all?
You look a bit like her too.
Thank you. Oh, let's go with Crime and the City Solution.
Yes!
Let's hear American Twilight by Crime and the City Solution.
We must not let the doomsayers and the naysayers cause us to lose our faith. Because without love and without hope, there can be no future.
Yeah.